Welcome to the Surviving Grief Podcast, hosted by our grief ministry leaders at Crossroads Church. We'll be sitting down with friends as they share their powerful stories of loss and healing, and we'll hear from grief professionals and other wise people with useful tools for our own time of grief. If you're supporting someone who's grieving, you'll learn how to comfort them and walk with them on their own path to healing. Let's join the conversation.
Welcome back to another episode of the Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Megs Gelfgott.
And I'm Kelly Mayer.
And today we're getting into grief from the perspective of numbness. So we're talking about a response to grief that many people experience but rarely discuss, this disassociation or the emotional numbness that can be all too familiar. So sometimes grief is so heavy that our hearts just shut down to cope. And that's okay. God sees it and he walks with us even when we can't feel all that much. And so from a Christian perspective, bitterness often emerges in bereavement. So the grief of our loss, such as the death, even broken relationships, these are all a natural response to deep pain and anger at the circumstances, even the resentment towards God. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yep, we're talking about numbness. And I have a lot to say on this one because that is how I used to grieve. I wasn't even grief. It was just disassociation, which is disconnecting from the truth of what is going on around me, shifting into performance and just work, and ignore all of the emotions because I didn't know how to process them. And I didn't understand when my husband passed away that all of those emotions need to be processed. That's what grief is. It is an array of emotions attached to a loss that need to be processed. So because I didn't have any grief experience or training, and I had never really invested in any emotional awareness around grief, I just went numb. I just pushed the pain down, thinking that it would just not bother me anymore, and then just went back to work. But that's not how it works, because we know that grief will leak out when you least expect it. All of these emotions that we try to suppress and we try to numb with whatever your numbing agent happens to be. It could be shopping. It could be work. It could be alcohol. It could be credit card shopping. Whatever your thing is, we will run to that rather than running to the one who can actually help, which is God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to stay in the realness of our loss, not to be numb, and to run to the one who can help. Psalm 13, 1 through 2 is David's crying out in grief. If we read through the Psalms, they are literally a book on how to grieve, just textbook. And he says, "How long, Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And he's crying out to the Lord. And that's one of the things that we can look to because he sees us in our grief and he wants us to come close to him. But we kind of need to understand what's going on. Why do we become numb? Why is that a response in times of loss?
Absolutely. And, you know, so we know that grief is overwhelming. And for many of us, that's even an understatement. So our mind and our heart protect us by going numb. So this isn't wrong. So let's start there. This is not unspiritual. This is just a defense mechanism. This is your body and soul trying to survive, trying to navigate a pain that just feels too big. It just swamps us. It swamps all logic. And so recognizing that the first step toward letting God gently restore your emotions is inviting him into that despair, into that pain.
That's right. Lamentations 3:19 through 24 says, even in despair, remembering God's faithfulness brings hope. Because what we're doing when we're numb is we're kind of losing hope. And what starts small with just being numb to our own emotions starts to creep into isolation. And that's exactly what we don't want. And then it starts to affect our faith. And it can actually affect our body as well, because we all know now in this modern age, we have so much more information than we've ever had about how trauma and stress affects our body. It actually gets trapped in there. And so not hiding in our numbness, not defaulting and isolating, is a way to stay not only emotionally healthy, but physically healthy.
Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the, I like that you talked about the isolation, because I think that that is initially what comes to mind for a lot of people, is that being disconnected from your loved ones. But what's maybe talked about a little less is being disconnected and isolated even from yourself, from the hobbies that you used to have, from just enjoyment in even being around people that you used to have. So when you look at how isolation takes a toll, it's not just from, you know, the hobbies and the people that you used to spend time with, but from ourselves and even from our relationship with God. So it can feel like your heart is in a fog, you know, like you're, everyone is listening to music, and for you, you have the headphones on, and it's just kind of this muted, you know, even sometimes that includes your spiritual life. But God is still present. You know, these unchanging truths are so important to hear when you are in the midst of these kind of chapters of despair. Even when you don't feel Him, God can gently awaken our emotions over time.
Because He's gentle and good. He knows what's going on. He knows what we're doing. He knows that what we're trying to hide from. And He's kind. And so as we bring our pain to Him in little bits, whatever is comfortable, again, grief can't be rushed. And sometimes, you know, you need to be in the retreat stage of grief, which is, you do need to be alone. You do need to be alone with Him, not alone on your own, but alone with Him, intimate, in solitude, not in isolation, but solitude. Big difference between those two things. Solitude, where there's solitude, there's peace. There might be pain, but there's also peace at the same time. And Psalm 62:8 tells us what to do. It's like it's a guaranteed play that we can run when we feel like, oh, I don't want to be around people. I do want to be around God. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And that's really what the retreat stage of grief is. When people, you know, all the casseroles are gone, everyone's mm-hmm. gone back to their life, and you are there trying to figure out, who am I now? What am mm-hmm. I doing? And those questions are really for God, and He will answer, but we need to be not numb, but sensitive to His Spirit. And that can be really hard. And one of the things that we can do when we're in that stage is be in a posture of lament. We know there's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations. And basically, a lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. We've talked about the model of that in previous episodes, but it's basically just saying, God, this situation is not as it should be. I don't like it. I don't think it's right. And then shifting into, but You, God, are good. You know, calling out His characteristics, telling, you know, reminding yourself out loud who He is. And then the third step is asking Him for help. What do you need? What would it look like for Him to intervene and bring relief to you? And that's what we ask for. And then we praise Him, because we do know that from our previous life before our loss, we could probably list a million good things that He's done for us. Mm-hmm. He's not going to stop now. In fact, He's going to be even closer, because quite honestly, you need Him more.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to emphasize that numbness, what Kelly and I are discussing right now is the persistent numbness. You know, we've talked often about really the first 6 weeks, even the first 3 to 4 months, where everything is just upside down and disorienting. There's going to be some expected numbness there. And so we're not asking you to push through that initially, although, of course, like, we want to invite God into that process. But what we're talking about is that persistent numbness that becomes almost its new identity, right? Like, this is the new landscape that you're just not finding that enjoyment in life. And so this is really looking at how grief kind of takes shifts and turns in our lives. And as things settle, you know, as Kelly says, the casseroles are gone. The text messages, they're not flooding in, and time marches forward. And so really looking at how are we growing into a place of both hope and healing. You know, sometimes even that numbness is a way to stay close to the person that we lost, right? You're afraid that if you dip a toe in the water of that grief, that again, it will just swamp you. But you know, what we run from pursues us. That I think that is just a universal truth. And so standing and really facing it, you're not facing it alone, but with God. And that's where the lamenting piece is just so, so important. You know, we're not giving these really tame complaints to God. That's key here. It's not just, God, I'm really sad.
Right.
No, this isn't fair. How could you do this? You know, whatever the complicatedness of your loss, whatever the heartbreak of your loss, bring that to God in its rawness. Because when you name it, there is a release that happens. And then we can start to really work through it. You know, in Psalm 31, 9 through 10, just again, crying out in sorrow, even when numb. It's inviting God's care.
And crying out literally means crying out loud with our voice. There is such power when we speak. Our brain obeys what we speak. There's all the brain science in the world. You can Google it. You can watch YouTube videos on it. What we speak, our brain obeys. That's why, you know, we know that the power of life and death is in our tongue as believers. And so when we cry out to God and we tell him what we're feeling, there is a release that is so powerful. Staying silent is one of the most powerful things that numbness can do. It literally can clench your jaws together. So it's super important to get in that quiet, private place and just cry it out to God. Tell him everything. And what I've seen, and when people put this into practice, is they kind of went into this thinking that God took their loved ones, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't take people. That would be cruel. Unfortunately, we live in a broken world that's full of sin and death, and we know that that comes from the original fall, the original sin that entered into the world. And part of what God gave us is free will. And so free will of humanity is what's causing all shorter lifespans and stress. And it's just this big, complex thing. And he has to allow free will. Because he's the God that keeps his word, and he gave us dominion, right? What we're waiting for is for Jesus to return, and he paid the price, but to claim dominion back over the world. That's the eternal story that we're in. And so what I've seen people do is when they start crying out to God is that they realize, oh, you didn't take my loved one. This is part of the brokenness. This is part of the hurt of living in a broken world. And they can make peace with God and make peace with this big macro complex world of brokenness that we're in, and yet find peace in it still, because mm-hmm. that's the promise for believers.
Mm-hmm. And when there's this pivot into the emotional reconnection, you know, earlier Kelly used the word gentle a few times, and that I think that that's key here, right? There are times for tough love. There are times for get up and just get moving. But again, God knows what we need here. He knows that we are at our most vulnerable. We are at kind of, for some of us, even the lowest chapters that we will ever experience. And so God isn't going to come in and you know, it's this like dominant position, but this key of gently, how do we continue to have that emotional reconnection? So these are really, what is the pathway? What's the gentle way to reconnect with our emotions and God? Is that through journaling or worship, counseling? But what are the safe grief expressions?
So many things. First is self-care, I believe. We have to learn to be gentle with ourselves, because the world, it will more than happy to make you rush through your grief, to kind of say, like tapping on your watch, like, oh, isn't it time to move on? And that's not the posture that we want to be in. We are learning to put a new life together. And that is exhausting for your brain to remap your world, to remap your reality, to gently explain to you through your thoughts that things are not the same. And so self-care and searching for the peace that can come, and whether that's getting a massage, doing things you would maybe never have done in your life before, you might need to do those as you're grieving. Just do that little extra thing, that extra cup of tea in the morning, that slower pace in the morning. You know, Jesus was peaceful. He wasn't rushing around Galilee, running and sprinting, and not in any way. And he even gave us, as he left this world, in John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So let your hearts not be troubled and do not be afraid. And sometimes I just have to cry out when I feel shaky or when I feel like, oh, everything's too much. I literally just quiet myself and say, Jesus, would you give me your peace? Because this scripture is true and he will. And what peace looks like for you based on your personality, are you an introvert or an extrovert? It's going to look very, very different. But that gentle peace connection is where you can start to feel reconnected, because no one wants to live in chaos, and grief can be very chaotic from a financial standpoint. People and relationships that you're trying to navigate that are all different. Peace is our gift.
And remembering, we're not trying to reconnect to who we were before loss. You are forever transformed, friends. You know, it's a tough reality, but as we go through this process of grief, we're forever changed. And so things are going to look different as we continue to reconnect. There might be a rawness there that wasn't there before. And so it's exploring, who am I on the other side of this thing? Who does God say I am? Who am I as I continue to transform in this process? And, you know, and also, as we grow through this just really challenging chapter, it's knowing that our story doesn't stop. You know, so much of the numbness is that protection. And so let's just take some of kind of the top things that Kelly and I see when we work with so many of the people in our healing groups here at Crossroads. That protection, a lot of times it stems from a complication within grief. The relationship, was it unresolved? Are there, you know, trauma pieces within that? You know, there's just, everybody's grief is unique. And the more complicated your relationship, the more complicated the circumstances, the more complicated our grieving story is going to be. And so, you know, let's just take one of those emotions. Let's say there's a forgiveness element. Forgiving them, forgiving ourselves. You know, are there things that you could have done that changed things? Maybe. But, you know, the numbness is the barrier for us to not face those things. And I think that, you know, when we look at the pathways to emotionally reconnect, it's having the strength and the courage to face some of those things that feel daunting because you're not facing them alone.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, as we look, we've talked about this so many times on the podcast, but a lot of times the pain that we're feeling is because we're trapped in a feeling of guilt and self-condemnation. Oh, I should have done more. Oh, I should have done this. And it's rarely, rarely appropriate to feel guilty, because guilt is kind of knowing something was wrong and doing it anyway. Like a bank robber is guilty. You know, everybody knows you don't rob a bank, and this person did it anyway. But we put ourselves on such trial after a loss, where we have expectations of ourselves that we should have been a doctor, we should have been an attorney, we should have been a relationship expert, you know, and that's just not who we are. We're people who are loving someone and doing the best that we can. And then the brokenness of the world stepped in, the sin and the pain and all the brokenness, not our loved one's sin, the sin of the world stepped in, and death occurred. Because that's the result, right, of the brokenness of the world. And boy, do we put ourselves on trial. And then all that self-condemnation and all that self-judgment, it gets to be overwhelming, and we just shut down. And that's what leads to a lot of numbness. And so a healthier framework is to just have regret. Like, man, I wish I would have known more. I wish I would have known more about neuroscience. I wish I would have gotten my loved one help earlier. Well, that's regret. That's not guilt. You didn't know. We have no idea how these stories are going to unfold, right? There's complications. A surgery goes wrong out of nowhere. We couldn't have prevented that. And so to allow yourself to feel regret brings sorrow. Sorrow heals and brings peace. It's a completely different pathway than guilt, which brings shame, which never heals and just spirals and gets worse. And so sometimes we need to just reframe the emotions, and that just that shift from guilt to regret can make us, like, can give us hope. Like, okay, yeah, really. I mean, technically, is it true? Am I a doctor? No. Sometimes you have to ask yourself the realistic question. Am I a doctor? No. Am I a psychologist? Nope. Don't have those degrees. Don't have that expertise. And then that can help us to shift into, oh gosh, I did do the best that I could, and stop judging ourselves. And that can really help with the numbness and bring some freedom in our soul.
Mm-hmm. And it allows us to take some of those first little steps. So is that writing your feelings? You know, there's so much power pen to paper, right? Just, you'll be shocked at what comes out. Listening to music that moves you. You know, there would be times that I was kind of in the stubborn place of grief where I did not want to interact with it. And I can remember being here at Crossroads and there was a song that like I had never heard before. And suddenly I'm like crying in this dark room. And, you know, I do not have the affinity for crying in public, but sometimes it just washes over you. And it is so cathartic. You know, what does sharing some of these emotions with a trusted friend, you know, that can awaken your heart. And, you know, we are built for community. We're built for it. And that is how God also meets our needs, by bringing people alongside us and knowing that as we navigate, you know, God is patient. He meets us step by step in restoring that emotional life, because he doesn't want us to live this partial life. You know, he wants us to experience the fullness, and we can only do that when we reconnect with our emotions.
And our bodies are built to release stress and numbness. Our worship. We are worshipers. That's why we are created. That's our purpose in the world, is to worship God. And so we have voices and we have lungs. And when we worship and we release the beauty from within, or even if it's a lament song, it's coming out. And that's one way our body is built to release our emotion. Also, like Meg's talked about, weeping. We know the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And if he needed to do it, then so do we, because there's a mechanism that's built in to that. When the tears, there's a functional part of releasing tears, which is connected to an emotional part. And a lot of times God will take you somewhere. I remember having a vision of Jesus with me, and he was showing me these big jars. And I was like, Lord, what's in those jars? And he said, those are all the tears you never cried. They need to be spilled. And we just walked together and turned these jars over and spilled all the tears that I never cried, in the grief of losing my dad and losing my husband, losing one of my best friends. And I felt the emotional relief of having cried those tears, even though I didn't. And so that kind of speaks to the supernatural aspect of our faith. You know, we can be in an intimate place with God where extraordinary inner healing can happen just by reconnecting with him. But that takes a little bit of time and an intentionality, and to let him come into our inner world, right? And so, like, Philippians 4 is my favorite. Goodness, it's, and we know the verse. You may not know the address, but it's, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, that's a high standard. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh boy, two key words in there. Anything and every. Don't be anxious about anything. That is like, really, anything? So I'm supposed to bring everything? Yes, because this is a mechanism prayer. This is a promise that has step-by-step instructions to it, and it has a promise to it. So if you bring your requests to God about anything and every situation and present them, and present to me means orally say them and lay them out, God, here's all the things I'm anxious about. I'm laying them on the altar for you. When you release them, because that's what you're doing in this exercise, this living example of becoming intimate with God so that you can, don't have to walk around numb, presenting them and putting them on the altar and leaving them there. Because a lot of times we want to take them back off the altar and hang on to them because we want to control, and we can't. So as you present your request to God on the altar and you step away from the altar and you close your hands, they're empty now, the peace of God comes. It's supernatural. and we begin to feel alive, and we don't want to be numb anymore. Because, and this is kind of the, this is the transition and recovery stages of grief, where hope starts to spring up, and that's where we're heading.
Friends, you clicked on this episode. Something about the word numbness resonated with you. So I want you to just take a moment, and in the quiet of your heart, I want you to notice, what are the places that your heart feels empty or shut down? Give yourself that gift of just taking a minute or two to really settle in. What was resonating? What about that word hit home for you? And then name them, right? Just like Kelly kind of walked us through. How are you naming those things out loud and imagine placing them into Jesus's hands? You know, there is power in that type of visualization and physically releasing those things. Asking, Lord, meet me in the spaces where I can't feel. Awaken hope, peace, and the connection in my heart.
Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And what that verse does not mean is to forget about the people that we loved. God would never do that. He's the God of remembrance. He says, remember, up 1,200 times in the Bible. But I feel like what this verse is saying in the context of grief is forget some of your old bad habits. Like for me, that's what it means. Like, hey, Kelly, don't numb in grief. You don't have to do that anymore. Don't dwell on the way you used to be in the past. I'm doing a new thing in you. You're a new person, and I'm doing a new thing in you, and it is beginning to spring up. Can't you feel that? And that's the encouragement of a good father. And then the further promise of, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And that speaks to when you think all is lost, our God, the God of hope, the living God, comes and makes a way. When we thought, I will never get out of this, he does it, and he'll do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Numbness is not the end of our story. You know, grief is not the end of the story. It is not your identity. It's a sign that your heart is carrying something heavy, and God is patient and faithful, and he will meet us in these quiet spaces, even when we feel nothing. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you will take some time to explore where you are feeling numb. Share this with friends who are in grief. Take a look at some of our other episodes, and we want to just give you tools and resources and encouragement to continue to move forward.
Yeah, you can share your stories with us at podcasts@crossroads.net. We want to hear, is this impacting you? We want to hear your stories, and we want to encourage you to get in touch.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Surviving Grief Podcast.
Surviving Grief is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you'd like to connect or share your own story, reach out to us at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S at crossroads.net. We'll see you next time.